As has been noted, today we conclude our annual stewardship campaign, Changing Lives, with the dedication of our pledges to the work of Christ through this congregation for the year 2018. Several Sundays ago, we set the foundation, noting that one of the ways we describe the church is as the forgiven community. You can kind of follow along on your inserts there, your stewardship inserts. In God's activity in Jesus Christ on the cross, our sins are forgiven and we are set free to worship and serve God. Being forgiven gives us the freedom to let go of things that hold us back. Being forgiven gives us the freedom to take hold of the things that lift us up so that we can reach out and lift others up. Being forgiven fills our hearts and we are grateful. We are spiritually strengthened for living, even thriving amidst our life challenges. Now, as has been noted, several things follow from the result of being a forgiven community. Things that we learn from Scripture and hear from Jesus. One of them is that we are connected, one to the other. And this connected community, the church, has distinguishing marks. Things such as care for one another, praying together, eating together, worshiping together, as well as serving together. In other words, as forgiven children of God, we connect with and care for each other, the connected community, which was our focus several Sundays ago. Additionally, we noted we lose ourselves in serving others. We become a selfless community, a serving community. This morning, then, our focus is on the church and you and I as individual Christians, as a selfless community immersed in serving. Invite you to follow along as I read a passage or two of Scripture, first from the Gospel according to Luke, words of Jesus. Then he said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves?" And then I just want to add a couple of more. First, Paul writes in Galatians, the second chapter, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." And this same apostle in Romans notes, "I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In an article entitled "The Selfless Gene," that's G-E-N-E, "The Selfless Gene" by Olivia Judson, appeared in the Atlantic some years ago, this author writes, "At 2 a.m. on February 26, 1852, the Royal Navy troop ship Birkenhead, which was carrying more than 600 people, including 7 women and 13 children, struck a rock near Danger Point, 2 miles off the coast of South Africa. Almost immediately, the ship began to break up. Just 3 lifeboats could be launched. The men were ordered to stand on deck, and they did. The women and children, along with a few sailors, were put into the lifeboats and rowed away. Only then were the men told that they could try to save themselves by swimming to shore. Most drowned or were eaten by sharks. The heroism of the troop, standing on deck facing almost certain death while others escaped, became the stuff of legend. But the strange thing is," Judson notes, "such heroics are not rare. Humans often risk their lives for strangers. Think of the firemen going into the World Trade Center, or for people they know but are not related to." She asks the question, how does a propensity for self-sacrifice evolve? And what about the myriad lesser acts of daily kindness, helping a little old lady across the street, giving up a seat on the subway, returning a wallet that's been lost. Are these impulses as primal as ferocity, lust, and greed? Or are they just a thin veneer over a savage nature? Or to put it another way, it's easy to see how evolution can account for the dark streaks in human nature, the violence, the treachery, the cruelty. I mean, that's survival of the fittest, is it not? But how does it produce kindness, generosity, and heroism? There's a lot of literature out there about the science of altruism, if you will, how human beings have evolved to include this selfless trait. Several years ago, Harvard biologist E.O. Wilson outlined new thinking about how human social behavior evolved, saying that it was competition among groups of humans made up of both related and unrelated individuals that helped our society evolve and dominate the planet. Wilson's presentation focused on an extreme form of social behavior termed eusocial. That's E-U social, eusocial by scientists. Eusocial species are those in which some individuals act altruistically to benefit the group, the larger group, instead of selfishly to benefit themselves. Eusocial species have evolved just a handful of times, all of them relatively recently. Wilson suggests that eusocial species include ants and bees, plus naked mole rats in Africa, some crustaceans, and humans. Though these species represent a tiny fraction of all species on Earth, their success has been breathtaking. Humans have multiplied and risen to dominate the planet, while ants are so successful that their biomass is greater than that of all non-human land vertebrates. Pretty wild, isn't it? Well, you're not here for a science class, and to be honest, Wilson's work has met with a lot of skepticism. But this topic of selfishness versus selflessness is more than simply, while it is a matter of biology, of evolution, just as much it's also a deeply spiritual matter. We can all relate to that battle within, you know, the battle to serve self or to serve others. One writer notes, selflessness runs counter to human nature, which is why being selfless is so much more difficult than being selfish. It's natural to care about ourselves, and we are encouraged to think selfishly from all sides. Even the Apostle Paul notes this when he writes, "The very thing I want to do and know I should do, I do not. And the thing I know I should not do is the very thing I do." Let's be honest. I'll be honest, friends. The toughest call Jesus places on his disciples, on you and me, is to deny ourselves and sacrifice our own pleasures on behalf of others. The toughest call. Selflessness means putting your community's needs above your own instead of always acting in your own interest. Acting selflessly isn't easy, but the more you practice, the better you'll get at being kind and generous. When you make a habit of taking action to make others feel good and make the world a better place, you'll see that being selfless can actually make you happier. Now, before going further, I do need to say one thing. The mother who needs a break from her job and her kids to sit on the beach and read a book is not being selfish. The father who needs a break from his job and his kids to sit on the beach and read a book is not being selfish. Even Jesus needed a time to get away to a lonely place apart and recharge. That's simply feeding ourselves so that we can have the energy to serve others. But there is a deeper truth here. As Joshua Becker, author of The More Is Less, notes, selflessness is an important key to marriage, friendships, and relationships. It is also an essential key to happiness and fulfillment, but unfortunately often overlooked. Selflessness is often overlooked, he writes, as a key to happiness because on the surface it appears to run contrary to the very notion. I mean, isn't the pursuit of happiness by its very nature selfish? No, it's not, or at least it doesn't need to be. He goes on, and this is important, in that it intersects directly with that meddlesome deny yourself and pick up your cross daily phrase that Jesus says. He says our lives can be lived for any number of purposes. They can be used to advance a personal kingdom for selfish reasons, money, possessions, fame, prestige, reputation. But our lives can also be lived for the pursuit of justice, happiness, or growth for another person or whole group. We can live to try to help solve the problems we encounter in the world. We can dedicate ourselves to advancing certain ideals, but only when we embrace service and selflessness will we find lasting significance in our world. We all know that many will try to define success in terms of winning out over others, having power over others, or the ability to dominate others. The lust for power is common and widespread in humans. The power to order others around, the power to make decisions that will impact others, and the power to own when others cannot. But this type of happiness and influence is always short-lived. It always fades. History tells us that those who are drawn to selfishness ultimately perish. Those who are willing to give themselves up for one who desires his or her own kingdom above all things, ultimately, as Scripture says, lose or forfeit themselves. However, think about it. We are uniquely drawn to those who selflessly give of themselves. Those who love and give generously find a type of fulfillment that extends beyond position, title, or structure. They find an authority that reaches into our hearts and souls. Their example is studied. Their counsel is sought. Their stories are told in positive ways. Friends, we will never come to know our true vocation in life unless we are willing to grapple with the radical claims that the gospel places upon us to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily and follow Christ. Jesus' call to discipleship is primal, all-inclusive, demanding a total commitment. It even touches on that internal battle we always have about money. What figure should I write on this pledge card? A token or a commitment? A nod to Jesus or a picking up daily of the cross he demands we hoist and shoulder? It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Wow, what an incredible statement for a former persecutor of Jesus to make. Who lives in you? The battle continues. Our Lord, we know your call to be selfless, to deny ourselves and serve. It's a hard call. We know that. But we trust in your grace to lead us the paths of discipleship now and always. Amen.